answer is, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ يَفْشُ الْكَذِبُ. The best time is my time, and then the time which comes after me, the times of Sahaba. And then the times which come after them, the times of Tabi'een, the successors. After that, people would start talking lies, saying lies. So it shows that the moral character of the people after the Khilafat al-Rashida started declining. And then the morality of them started declining. Some elements of Khilafat al-Rashida started disappearing as well. Now let us compare between two persons, Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Ali. At the death of Sayyidina Ali, at the death of Sayyidina Umar, he was asked this question, can we appoint your son as Khalifa? And what was the answer of Sayyidina Umar? He said, no. I have made a committee of 6 people, and you have to appoint Khalifa among these six persons. Don't take my son as a Khalifa. You can take him as an advisor. That was the saying of Sayyidina Umar. The same question was put to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, the fourth caliph. Can we appoint your son Hassan after your death? He said, I don't stop you, I don't allow you, antum absar, you know the matter best. So it means that, you see, that how the condition is changing. Sayyidina Umar does not allow his son to be a successor, a Khalifa. But Sayyidina Ali said, all right, you are free. If you want to appoint him, all right, you can appoint him. And this is what happened. The people appointed Sayyidina Hassan after Sayyidina Ali. Another question which comes here. This Khilafah, is it an institution where elections are held? Or can you say that Khulafa are elected? Everybody would say, all right, they should be elected. What is your proof? Sayyidina Abu Bakr was elected in this sense, that all the people gave votes, or they said, all right, we elect Sayyidina Abu Bakr. No, it was not the case. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people were there. Few people were there in Saqifa Bani Sa'idah, and then there was that argument between Ansar and Muhajireen. Then Sayyidina Umar said to Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala an, extend your hand, let us take your bay'ah, and he was declared as Khalifa. How Sayyidina Umar was elected? Sayyidina Abu Bakr said in his will that I am leaving the best person among the Sahaba for you as your Khalifa, and that is Sayyidina Umar. That is after the death of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And how Usman was elected? Sayyidina Umar made a committee of 6 people, and then he said, elect one of them. You know the whole story that 4 of them withdrew, and only Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Usman left as 2 candidates, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf started asking the people, and then he found out that most people, are the greater number of the people, are in favor of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Only in this case you can say that he wanted to find out the opinion of the people of Medina. Only just in this case. How Sayyidina Ali was elected? After the death of Sayyidina Usman, there was no Khalifa at all. Talha and Zubair came to Sayyidina Ali and said, now you are the best person among us, be a Khalifa. He said, I am not going to be a Khalifa. Just by your saying, let me go to the mosque and take bayat, oath of allegiance from you there. So he came to the mosque, the oath of allegiance was given, and he was declared Khalifa. So how could you prove that the Khilafat system is based upon election? No, it can't be proved. Then, what is the solution, or what is the alternative? You say, as Imam Al-Mawardi has written, and other writers have written, that Khalifa was to be appointed through 2 ways. First is, the people who are very prominent in the society, and they are known as Ahlul Halli Wal Aqd, those who appoint and those who disappoint, are those who appoint and those who let the people come out of the seat of the government, or leave the seat of the government. These people, they are going to appoint the Khalifa. That is one way. And the second way is Wilayatul Ahad. Wilayatul Ahad means that the Khalifa which is about to die, leave a will for another Khalifa to come. These are the two ways which are mentioned by Al-Mawardi and most of the ulama. They agree to it. Shah Waliullah Dehlavi, who was a very great scholar of India, he said there is another way as well, that if a person enforces himself or imposes himself upon the community and he got the power and the land in his hand and fitna is terminated or crushed because of him, then that person can be declared as Khalifa as well. So what Sayyidina Muawiyah has done? Sayyidina Muawiyah has seen that there were so many fightings going on in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. As you know that all the conquests were made in the times of Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Usman. No conquest was made in the times of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala because people were fighting each other. Sayyidina Muawiyah knew that, and he knew that if he left this matter, the matter of Khilafat, without deciding it, people are going to fight each other. This is why he declared his son as the next Khalifa. And of course we know that though it was not a very good choice, but it saved the Ummah a very great fitna at that time. So Imam Ibn Hazm, Ibn Khaldun, and even Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he has said that those Khalifa who have appointed their successors, these successors were accepted by the Ummah. Imams like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal or other Imams, they did not object to their choices. And they have raised their voices in so many issues, but they did not raise their voice about this issue particularly. Ibn Hazm says that Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, among the Amawi Khalifa, he is the one who appointed after him Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was one of the best Khalifa known after the four Khulafa after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Netanya says about Muawiyah, لم يكن من ملوك المسلمين ملك خير من معاوية ولا كان الناس في زمان ملك من الملوك خيرا منهم في زمان معاوية. Imam Netanya says that there is no king among the Muslims better than Muawiyah. Nor the people in any times were better than in the times of Muawiyah. One Sahabi, his name is Abu Darda, and he was in Damascus. He said about the prayer of Muawiyah, once he said, O people, if you like to see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, then see Muawiyah. Muawiyah among you is the one whose prayer is very close to the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that during the period of Bani Umayyah, so many countries were conquered. Andalus, Spain was conquered, India was conquered, and a great part of this Turkestan was conquered in those times. In the times of Abbasiyin or Abbasid kingdom, the knowledge was spread and the frontiers of the Muslim empire were saved. Among the rulers of Spain, there were those rulers who went fighting until they came to France at one side and to the Germany on the other side. Among the Ayyubids or Al-Ayyubiyin, we know Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi, who defeated the Tartars. So it means that out of all these kings who were declared as kings, but they were known as Khulafa as well, something good has come out. Ottoman Empire, they came to Europe and they conquered it. They came to Vienna, Switzerland, and here they were stopped by the forces of Germany. And because of their conquest, Bosnia was turned into a Muslim country. And if you think about Bosnia, how they became Muslim, because of these Ottoman kings who were also Khulafa.
not in difficult compartment with it.
I can't take much of your time now, so I have to sum up. Among the Ottoman kings are Khulafa. As I said, some of the characters of Khilafa disappeared, but many other characters were still retained. I just mentioned to you one aspect of Sultan Abdul Hamid, whose rule continued till 1909. The Jewish people offered him 15 million pieces of gold to allow the Jews to settle down in Palestine. And he said, no, I am not going to accept this money. Because that was the debt which he owed to the other states. And Jews said, all right, we are going to pay off your debts if you allow the Jews to settle down in Palestine. What was his reply? He said that this land, we have conquered it with our blood, and you can only buy it with your blood. It means thus fighters. So this is why the Jews given him the title of Al-Malik Al-Ahmar, the Red King. Another person, another king, which is Salim, the son of Sulaiman Al-Qanuni in 1506, just one aspect of his life. He was a hafiz of Quran, and he appointed 40 hafiz among his armies to read the Quran day and night. And his turn was the 40th one. And after 39 people finished reading, then he comes and he used to read Quran. When he conquered Egypt, the imam in one of the mosques recited khutbah, and then he said, addressing King Salim or Khalifa Salim, you are the Malik al-Haramain al-Sharifain. You are the king of al-Haramain al-Sharifain. He said, no, say Khadim al-Haramain al-Sharifain. I am the servant of al-Haramain al-Sharifain. Once he said, or he decreed that any person who is smuggling silk should be imprisoned or his head should be cut off. So few men were brought to his court who were trafficking in the silk trade. And Salim said, all right, according to my decree, their heads should be chopped off. At that time, the famous Sheikh Ibn al-Kamal was there, and he said to Khalifa, Khalifa, what are you doing? You are just beheading these people, just for this crime, for smuggling the silk. He said, this is my order, don't talk about it. There is nothing to do with you in this matter. What was the reply of Ibn al-Kamal? Ibn al-Kamal said, Khalifa, I am concerned with your akhirah. This is why I am stopping you from doing this bad act. And when he mentioned akhirah, at once Salim agreed to the opinion of Ibn al-Kamal, and then he let these people go without being punished. So what I am saying, that the institution of Khilafah, which is very, very important, and nobody disagree about this institution, but let us try to see everything in its own perspective. It is one of the obligations which are upon the Muslims, but it is not our objective. Our objective is still ad-da'wah ila Allah, to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the entire world. That is our mission. And if we do our mission, then a stage would come when we can attain this Khilafah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us with this Khilafah. How this Khilafah can be achieved? I think there are two possible ways nowadays. The first one is that if all the heads of the state, the Muslim heads of the state, they get together and they try to appoint among them, the best among them, as a Khalifa, it can be done. It is a practical solution, and I know they are not going to do it. But anyhow, if all of them, they agree upon one person to be their Khalifa, it can be done. The second thing, or the second solution, in my eyes, the only land which is achieved in the name of Islam throughout this world, in the modern history, is the land of Pakistan. Because Pakistan was created just in the name of Islam, to fulfill the Islamic injunctions there, to make it an Islamic state. So it is the duties of the Muslims to try to establish the Islamic rule starting from that country. And if you are
successful there, of course you can spread the circle of Khilafah to all other countries surrounding it until you unite the whole Ummah. That comes to my mind, and of course the floor is open, and you got your own solutions. You can bring your solution. One of the solution is with you, somebody who has declared Khilafah in Khurasan. One solution is with you. So anyhow, we are not the people to close our minds. You can have your opinions and you can bring it forth, because the time is very, I have taken much time. So I come to the end of my speech. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم لسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم.